This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It got dicey at the end in the ACC tournament. Welcome back in. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the sports betting network. Ooh, Clemson barely hangs on against North Carolina, 80-79, a one-point win, a game where they led for 78% of it, 18-point lead at one point. The Tar Heels clawed back, but it wasn't enough in the final seconds. Clemson ends up hanging on. They pick up the win. They advance. And that is a team that I thought about betting potentially to win the ACC tournament once I saw the news about the Duke injuries. But the problem for Clemson is the offense. And I talked to Chris Massaro, pro handicapper, about this earlier in the week. And he pointed it out, and he's correct. You can't trust this offense during stretches in the game. They completely disappear. And as a team with a lead, you know, a lot of these teams with a lead, it's similar to football. They don't know how to play with one. And they get too conservative. And they look for the perfect shot instead of just taking what's out there. And I think for Clemson, especially the lack of the three ball, that is one reason why I have issues trusting them. However, I'll point out today, 47% from three, 9-19 beyond the arc for them. And that is a pretty good rate for a Clemson team that is really not good shooting the three. In fact, they had two guys off the bench. We know Justin Porter, 2 of 3 beyond the arc for them, 10 points off the bench. But Nick Davidson goes 4 of 4 for 17 points from three-point land, 4 for 4 for him, 11 boards. You know what? If they're going to up the ante shooting the three ball, Brad Brownell's one of those coaches you just kind of trust in March. I don't even know what the spread is half the time with him. I just know he's a guy that I want. He's a guy I want to back. He's a guy I know his team's going to show up and play specifically on the defensive end, and it's going to translate into offense as well. SEC, man, not even close. Oklahoma gets a much-needed win, 83-63 over Texas A&M. Unfortunately for Buckyball, the shots weren't falling like they normally do. Oklahoma gets the dub. They're going to advance in the SEC tournament. When I say 83-63, is that what I just said? 20-point win. Let me double-check that as I write it down on my sheet here. Got to keep it all together. Got to make sure I got it all in one spot, because if not, if I got to bounce around on the fly, I'm horrible. 83-63 is the score. Wow, we stayed under the total. See, this is the thing. Totals have been really difficult for me in these conference tournaments. I just, during the regular season, had a good feel, especially early on, but I was betting mostly unders. As the season went on, you start identifying teams that you like to bet over on. A&M, team you bet over on. Georgia earlier today, team you bet over on. Well, Georgia lost to Ole Miss earlier today. I had the over in that game. It doesn't help when the team that you're hoping is setting the pace has 24 points at halftime. Kind of know your bet's dead. And that's exactly what happened with Georgia earlier today in the SEC. Also in the SEC earlier, back and forth game, Auburn and Tennessee. The Vols win 72-62. Auburn, one of those teams that I guess is on the bubble, but I hate saying this because I know we're supposed to hate Stephen Pearl and Bruce Pearl right now. Like, that's the in vogue thing to do. This is a battle-tested team. They scheduled hard at a conference. They beat St. John's. They beat NC State. They lost to Arizona. They lost to Purdue. They lost to Houston. They beat Oregon. Like, to compare that when we were talking about Miami of Ohio, it's so offensive to even compare the schedules. Then you factor in, and this is the part where I get a little bit on the fence. You know, these SEC teams, these Big Ten teams, these Big 12 teams, you benefit from the fact that there just are quad one games on your schedule automatically by the nature of league play. But at the same time, Auburn went out and did play a really challenging schedule. And I'm in a place where, in this world where teams are scared to do that because they're scared to lose and show that they may not be on the level that they want to be a part of the big dance, I do want to reward some of these teams. It's not like they just scheduled random out of conference. They scheduled preseason number one Purdue. Houston was number one when they played them. Michigan was number 7 when they played them. St. John's was 14. Arizona's number 2. Like, that is quite a resume for an out of conference. And on the year, they're 17-16. So that's where we stand with Auburn this year. All right, let me get you updated on the scores right now in college basketball. See how things are flowing with some of the bets that we threw out there in the final set of games on the night. 5 seconds to go, Kansas. They've stretched out over TCU, 74-67, 11.8 to go. Last time this number was on the board, it was 4.5. It's a 7-point game. and it just went off the board. That's weird that it was 4.5 right before it went off. And this was a game that closed at, what, 5? As, ooh, maybe that's why it was at 4.5. TCU just hit a 3. 74-70 with 7.8 to go as Kansas inbounds the ball. And a quick foul, 6.2 seconds remaining. We'll get free throws in what's now a 4-point game in the Big 12 tournament. So this game closed. Where's my Big 12? My Big 12 is 4.5. It did close 4.5. Okay, it opened 5, down to 4.5. Total went up from 141 up to 146.5. So let me see what happened here. They're showing a replay. Peterson got a bucket. Why are they just showing Peterson what he did tonight? I saw him miss a layup when I was looking up before. But I imagine Peterson had a pretty good night because they're highlighting his day. I'm going to pull it up here as we wait the free throws from Kansas. The first one's up and it's good. 75-70 with 6.5 to go. So that's going to be a little tough for TCU here to find a way to win this. Peterson had 24. He went 5 of 17 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, 13 of 16 from the free throw line. That'll get it done. And Kansas hits the second one. Back to a 6-point game. They're covering the 5. They're covering the 4.5. But if TCU gets a quick shot up here with 6.5 to go and they baseball pass it to midcourt, it's on the other side. 3-point up is, oh my God, it's good. The game's within the number right now. TCU with 3 seconds to go is covering and there's a timeout on the floor. Oh my God. David Punch caught a baseball pass from the other end. By the way, I mean, it's more of a football pass than a baseball pass. Turns around, dribbles twice, sets up a 3, and it's a 3-point game. 3 seconds to go. They foul, and now Kansas is shooting free throws again with 2.4. I mean, if you bet TCU, you need another baseball pass, and you need another 3 after this. You have to wonder, would Kansas miss the second one intentionally? If you make the first one, it's a 4-point game. Miss the second one, it's going to be harder for them to find a way to get a shot off. But at the same time, I think you'd rather be sure and make the second one, but I might consider missing it. As El Marco Jackson's at the free throw line, 80% free throw shooter on the year, and he makes the first one. Wow. Wow. This is an emotional roller coaster if you bet this game. I feel bad for anyone who did. Let's see. Second one coming. Kansas in the second half, 25 of 29 from the free throw line. And he makes second one. We are back to it being a 5-point game, 78-75. So if you caught 5, you're pushing right now. Another baseball pass. It's tipped. TCU with a 3. Oh, banks out. Oh, my God. They tried for a bank 3, and it was not open. Final score, 78-73. Kansas with the win, and it lands on 5. But if you laid 4.5, which is where it closed, you end up a winner, and we go over the total of 146.5 in that game. So that is an update on the big game, just ending in the Big 12. And that leaves us 3 late-night games that we are sweating out. We have had a very up-and-down day with the betting. Let me go back and recap it at VSiN.com/picks. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5-9 in college basketball. And by the way, Clemson tried to screw us out of one there. We're sweating out Utah Tech money line. They lead Abilene Christian right now, 37-23. We went -130 on the money line. That is looking pretty good early on. 3:49 to go in the first half. Utah Tech's a 10.5-point favorite. Your total, 149.5. UC Davis Fullerton, we went under on the 155.5. That totals all the way down to 135 and a hook. So looking pretty good early on. 5:41 to go in the first half. Fullerton 17, UC Davis 16. And in the Mountain West Conference, New Mexico on top of San Jose State very early in that game, 10-7. And New Mexico's a 15.5-point favorite. 155.5 is the total. We took San Jose State first half +9. So we'll keep you updated in all the live action all night long right here on Cashing Out. Bottom of this hour, we'll talk a little bit of golf with our buddy Eric Cohen. Plus, get his thoughts on the Friday card in college basketball. We'll also give you the core 4, my 4 favorite MLB division winners. In our last hour of the show, go over to the Westgate. Arthur DeCesar, risk manager. He'll join us, let us know where the money is going. Also, Colby Dant in our final hour with his best bets in college hoops. And the starting 5, the best and worst player props, coming up here for Friday in the NBA. And if you're looking to put your March tournament knowledge to the test at the highest level, this one's for you.
Splash Sports is offering a $1 million guaranteed in content prizes in a high-stakes Survivor contest. It's $1,000 to enter. $1 million on the line. It's NFL Survivor, but for the big dance. Just wait, make one pick per day, and you cannot use the same team twice, which adds a strategic element. Outlast everyone else, and you're in for a share of $1 million. And right now, new players using promo code VSINMM26 get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free quick picks entry up to $20 on them, plus a 100% quick picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close March 19th. Don't wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use code VSINMM26. You must be 21 or over. Available in select states only. Again, that is the contest from Splash Sports. Go to splashsports.com/VSIN, the code VSINMM26. A lot to get to here in this next hour of the program, including a lot of moves in the NFL. And I'm starting to think there's a couple teams with the win total that I might already be betting on here in the month of March, because I love the way things have shaken out for them thus far. I'll tell you who those teams are coming up next. Plus, you're going to hear from Kyler Murray, the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings. And I got to tell you, I am not a Kyler Murray fan. I am not into his style of play. I am not making fun of him. I do not think he can see his receivers downfield, which is a bit of an issue if you're going to play quarterback. But I love Kevin O'Connell, and I love that defense for Minnesota. And he's walking into the best situation he's ever been in as a pro, and he still has a live arm. And I'll explain why he's in the best spot he's ever been in terms of motivation. That's next on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It got dicey at the end in the ACC tournament. Welcome back in. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the sports betting network. Ooh, Clemson barely hangs on against North Carolina, 80-79, a one-point win. A game where they led for 78% of it, 18-point lead at one point. The Tar Heels clawed back, but it wasn't enough in the final seconds. Clemson ends up hanging on. They pick up the win. They advance. And that is a team that I thought about betting potentially to win the ACC tournament once I saw the news about the Duke injuries. But the problem for Clemson is the offense, and I talked to Chris Massaro, pro handicapper, about this earlier in the week, and he pointed it out, and he's correct. You can't trust this offense during stretches in the game. They completely disappear. And as a team with a lead, you know, a lot of these teams with a lead, it's similar to football. They don't know how to play with one. And they get too conservative. And they look for the perfect shot instead of just taking what's out there. And I think for Clemson, especially the lack of the three ball, that is one reason why I have issues trusting them. However, I'll point out today, 47% from three. 9-19 beyond the arc for them. And that is a pretty good rate for a Clemson team that is really not good shooting the three. In fact, they had two guys off the bench. We know Justin Porter, 2 of 3 beyond the arc for them, 10 points off the bench. But Nick Davidson goes 4 of 4 for 17 points from 3-point land, 4 for 4 for him, 11 boards. You know what? If they're going to up the ante shooting the three ball, Brad Brownell is one of those coaches you just kind of trust in March. I don't even know what the spread is half the time with him. I just know he's a guy that I want. He's a guy I want to back. He's a guy I know his team's going to show up and play specifically on the defensive end, and it's going to translate into offense as well. SEC, man, not even close. Oklahoma gets a much-needed win, 83-63 over Texas A&M. Unfortunately for Buckyball, the shots weren't falling like they normally do. Oklahoma gets the dub. They're going to advance in the SEC tournament. When I say 83-63, is that what I just said? 20-point win. Let me double-check that as I write it down on my sheet here. Got to keep it all together. Got to make sure I got it all in one spot, because if not, if I got to bounce around on the fly, I'm horrible. 83-63 is the score. Wow, we stayed under the total. See, this is the thing. Totals have been really difficult for me in these conference tournaments. I just, during the regular season, had a good feel, especially early on, but I was betting mostly unders. As the season went on, you start identifying teams that you like to bet over on. A&M, team you bet over on. Georgia earlier today, team you bet over on. Well, Georgia lost to Ole Miss earlier today. I had the over in that game. It doesn't help when the team that you're hoping is setting the pace has 24 points at halftime. Kind of know your bet's dead. And that's exactly what happened with Georgia earlier today in the SEC. Also in the SEC earlier, back and forth game, Auburn and Tennessee. The Vols win 72-62. Auburn, one of those teams that I guess is on the bubble, but I hate saying this because I know we're supposed to hate Stephen Pearl and Bruce Pearl right now. Like, that's the in vogue thing to do. This is a battle-tested team. They scheduled hard at a conference. They beat St. John's. They beat NC State. They lost to Arizona. They lost to Purdue. They lost to Houston. They beat Oregon. Like, to compare that when we were talking about Miami of Ohio, it's so offensive to even compare the schedules. Then you factor in, and this is the part where I get a little bit on the fence. You know, these SEC teams, these Big Ten teams, these Big 12 teams, you benefit from the fact that there just are quad one games on your schedule automatically by the nature of league play. But at the same time, Auburn went out and did play a really challenging schedule. And I'm in a place where, in this world where teams are scared to do that because they're scared to lose and show that they may not be on the level that they want to be a part of the big dance, I do want to reward some of these teams. It's not like they just scheduled random out of conference. They scheduled preseason number one Purdue. Houston was number one when they played them. Michigan was number seven when they played them. St. John's was 14. Arizona's number two. Like, that is quite a resume for an out of conference. And on the year, they're 17-16. So that's where we stand with Auburn this year. All right, let me get you updated on the scores right now in college basketball. See how things are flowing with some of the bets that we threw out there in the final set of games on the night. 5 seconds to go. Kansas, they've stretched out over TCU, 74-67, 11.8 to go. Last time this number was on the board, it was 4.5. It's a 7-point game, and it just went off the board. That's weird that it was 4.5 right before it went off. And this was a game that closed at, what, 5? As, maybe that's why it was at 4.5. TCU just hit a 3. 74-70 with 7.8 to go as Kansas inbounds the ball. And a quick foul, 6.2 seconds remaining. We'll get free throws in what's now a 4-point game in the Big 12 tournament. So this game closed. Where's my Big 12? My Big 12 is 4.5. It did close 4.5. Okay, it opened 5, down to 4.5. Total went up from 141 up to 146.5. So let me see what happened here. They're showing a replay. Peterson got a bucket. Why are they just showing Peterson what he did tonight? I saw him miss a layup when I was looking up before. But I imagine Peterson had a pretty good night because they're highlighting his day. I'm going to pull it up here as we wait to... Free throws from Kansas. The first one's up and it's good. 75-70 with 6.5 to go. So that's going to be a little tough for TCU here to find a way to win this. Peterson had 24. He went 5 of 17 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, 13 of 16 from the free throw line. That'll get it done. And Kansas hits the second one. Back to a 6-point game. They're covering the 5. They're covering the 4.5. But if TCU gets a quick shot up here with 6.5 to go and they baseball pass it to midcourt, it's on the other side, 3-point up. Oh, my God, it's good. The game's within the number right now. TCU with 3 seconds to go is covering, and there's a timeout on the floor. Oh, my God. David Punch caught a baseball pass from the other end. By the way, I mean, it's more of a football pass than a baseball pass. Turns around, dribbles twice, sets up a 3, and it's a 3-point game. 3 seconds to go. They foul. And now Kansas is shooting free throws again with 2.4. I mean, if you bet TCU, you need another baseball pass and you need another 3 after this. You have to wonder, would Kansas miss the second one intentionally? If you make the first one, it's a 4-point game. Miss the second one, it's going to be harder for them to find a way to get a shot off. But at the same time, I think you'd rather be sure and make the second one. But I might consider missing it as... El Marco Jackson's at the free throw line, 80% free throw shooter on the year, and he makes the first one. Wow. Wow. This is an emotional roller coaster if you bet this game. I feel bad for anyone who did. Let's see. Second one coming. Kansas in the second half, 25 of 29 from the free throw line, and he makes second one.
We are back to it being a five-point game, 78-75. So if you caught five, you're pushing right now. Another baseball pass. It's tipped. TCU with a three. Oh, banks out. Oh, my God. They tried for a bank three, and it was not open. Final score, 78-73. Kansas with the win, and it lands on five. But if you laid 4.5, which is where it closed, you end up a winner. And we go over the total of 146.5 in that game. So that is an update on the big game just ending in the Big 12. And that leaves us three late night games that we are sweating out. We have had a very up and down day with the betting. Let me go back and recap it at VSiN.com/picks. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5-9 in college basketball. And by the way, Clemson tried to screw us out of one there. We're sweating out Utah Tech money line. They lead Abilene Christian right now, 37-23. We went -130 on the money line. That is looking pretty good early on. 3:49 to go in the first half. Utah Tech's a 10.5-point favorite. Your total, 149.5. UC Davis Fullerton, we went under on the 155.5. That total is all the way down to 135 and a hook. So looking pretty good early on. 5:41 to go in the first half. Fullerton 17, UC Davis 16. And in the Mountain West Conference, New Mexico on top of San Jose State very early in that game, 10-7. And New Mexico is a 15.5-point favorite. 155.5 is the total. We took San Jose State first half +9. So we'll keep you updated and all the live action all night long right here on Cashing Out. Bottom of this hour, we'll talk a little bit of golf with our buddy Eric Cohen. Plus, get his thoughts on the Friday card in college basketball. We'll also give you the core four, my four favorite MLB division winners. In our last hour of the show, go over to the Westgate. Arthur DeCesar, risk manager. He'll join us, let us know where the money is going. Also, Colby Dant in our final hour with his best bets in college hoops. And the starting five, the best and worst player props. Coming up here for Friday in the NBA. And if you're looking to put your March tournament knowledge to the test at the highest level, this one's for you. Splash Sports is offering a $1 million guaranteed in content prizes in a high-stakes Survivor contest. It's $1,000 to enter. $1 million on the line. It's NFL Survivor, but for the big dance. Just wait, make one pick per day, and you cannot use the same team twice, which adds a strategic element. Outlast everyone else, and you're in for a share of $1 million. And right now, new players using promo code VSINMM26 get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free Quick Picks entry up to $20 on them, plus a 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close March 19th. Don't wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use code VSINMM26. You must be 21 or over. Available in select states only. Again, that is the contest from Splash Sports. Go to splashsports.com/VSIN, the code VSINMM26. A lot to get to here in this next hour of the program, including a lot of moves in the NFL. And I'm starting to think there's a couple teams with the win total that I might already be betting on here in the month of March because I love the way things have shaken out for them thus far. I'll tell you who those teams are coming up next. Plus, you're going to hear from Kyler Murray, the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings. And I got to tell you, I'm not a Kyler Murray fan. I am not into his style of play. I am not making fun of him. I do not think he can see his receivers downfield, which is a bit of an issue if you're going to play quarterback. But I love Kevin O'Connell, and I love that defense for Minnesota. And he's walking into the best situation he's ever been in as a pro, and he still has a live arm. And I'll explain why he's in the best spot he's ever been in terms of motivation. That's next on Cashing Out.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. One NBA game currently going on, and we're in the third quarter. Under 3 minutes to go, Lakers lead the Bulls 99-85. We have three plays in that game. Just, you know, matchup-wise and with a couple of injuries, they just jumped out to me as spots to bet on. So We went DeAndre Ayton over 8.5 rebounds, and he has 10. And this is just something to note for the future. The Bulls don't have big men, and they're resting some of their bigger forwards, like a Patrick Williams at times. And I don't know who's expected to grab rebounds. So because of that, I would look at a lot of centers and power forwards to go over their rebounds against the Bulls. And Ayton, before the fourth quarter even begins, is at 10 rebounds right now. And this is a guy who's underwhelmed all season long, but he's got 17 to 10 against Chicago. And I think that kind of tells you where they're at. We're also on LeBron over 11.5 rebounds and assists. He's at 11 right now. I need him to get us one more because I don't know how deep into the fourth quarter he's going to play in a 14-point game at 40, 41 years old where we're going to see all of LeBron. So I don't know if we're, even though we just need one more, I don't know if we're in such a great spot there with it being a 99-85 game. And then finally, Jalen Smith, under 7.5 rebounds. He has 2 in 22 minutes. And I'd anticipate he plays a lot of the fourth quarter, but we should be okay under 7.5 rebounds on Jalen Smith. It's just kind of funny that I'm 5-9 in college basketball, and in the NBA, I'm 5-1 right now with the Jalen Smith, which looks good, and LeBron, which might be okay as well, right on the edge. And we could potentially go 5-9 in college, but let's see, 7-1 in the NBA. Like that's the nature of betting. I don't even know how to make sense of that. It's just one's a good day, one's a bad day, depending on the sport. But we'll have more bets coming up for Friday's action, college basketball, conference tournaments. We're no longer betting totals. I'll tell you that. I'm done with it after tonight. The last bet was the under in the UC Davis Cal State Fullerton game. I'm not doing totals in conference tournaments anymore. If I bet under, it goes way over. If I bet over, it goes way under. I cannot get them right. And Utah Tech's looking good, man. They're up 45-28 right now in the first half. 1 second to go in the WAC quarterfinal there. So that's where we stand with the live action. I'll keep you posted as these games continue to go on because we're at halftime. No, we're not. We're not at halftime. They're just doing an interview with Eric Olin, the head coach of New Mexico. Never mind. We are on San Jose State plus 9 first half against New Mexico at 16-15 with 11:34 to go in the first half. Let's keep this going, Tim Miles. Keep it up here, buddy. Be a heck of a start for him to have 2 upsets if he could somehow knock off New Mexico here in the Mountain West Conference. But in the meantime, we should hit the top stories of the National Football League because there was a big addition in the NFC North. Let's do that now in the 3-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some hope! We want some hope! We want some hope!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is 3-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
And we begin in Minnesota. So I can't do the accent. I shouldn't have even attempted. It was like such a half try. But we begin in Minnesota, where the obvious finally got done, and that's the Vikings signed a 1-year deal with Kyler Murray, which, to me, it makes them a very fascinating team this year. Does it make them good? I don't know. Does it make them bad? I don't know. Do you know what it makes them? Fun to watch. I'm going to tune in to watch the Vikings here, as with Murray already owed so much money by Arizona, $36.8 million, his 1-year deal is for the vet league minimum. Because of that, that's going to allow some maneuverability still in the market for the Vikings here. And when I look at how this situation develops for him, he's got a number one in Jefferson. He's got Hockenson. He's got a pretty solid O-line. Offensively, he's never been in a better spot. Then you factor in on defense. You have Brian Flores, a mad scientist, and that defense, no matter who the pieces are, he has gotten the most out of them. So even though they've lost a couple guys in the offseason, I think they'll be right back to where they were a year ago. Kyler Murray, if he can play within himself, right? If he can just play the game in front of him and learn this Kevin O'Connell system, I think that Minnesota's a playoff team. They could be that good. I'd even consider looking at them to maybe even bet the win the NFC because the win total, I believe it's 8.5 now following this move. Let me double check. Minnesota, 7.5, still juiced -140 to the over. I like them there. In terms of the NFC, Minnesota for a long shot play at 22-1. Yeah, I'm vibing on it. And I think that this is a team that if I was giving advice, if they called up Dustin Sweetelson, they said, hey, Dustin, what should we do? We know that you've won multiple Super Bowls in Madden with teams like Jacksonville and Tennessee in the past. We want your expertise here. I would say trade up for Jeremiah Love because the window is now. And if you add Jeremiah Love in the run game, that where I think he's going to step in and be a difference maker, there isn't a weak link for Minnesota. And I think that they'd be able to contend to win that division potentially, but more importantly, make the playoffs and just be a dangerous team with Murray and O'Connell together. And again, I'm not a Murray guy. I used to be. I've kind of come back on him because of this move, because I trust if Kevin O'Connell believes he's good, and also the motivation for Kyler Murray. If he had signed a multi-year deal with the Vikings, if this was 3 years and he was making a ton of money, I'd question the motivation. But this is a prove-it deal because I don't know if the rest of the league is going to look at Kyler Murray as a backup, right? I don't know how many spots would be willing to accept him as a backup if we got into next season and he wasn't looking like a productive quarterback. I think his career is on the line. So you're going to get the most motivated Kyler Murray, who saw what Sam Darnold did with the Vikings a couple years ago and then parlayed that into a huge contract with Seattle and now has won a Super Bowl. He's looking for a second contract. And that's kind of a key for guys in the NBA. You can get in the NFL, I mean. You can get one, but if you can get that second contract, that does change the generational wealth for your team. Let's hear from Kyler Murray. He met with the media earlier today after inking his deal and was asked whether he looks at himself as the starter for this team.
I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I look forward to coming in and competing, getting to learn the offense, getting to be with Coach O'Connell. Obviously, he's had a lot of success. And again, I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to come in here and compete.
He's not competing. He's going to compete with J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy, who literally got their GM fired because he was so bad. Kevin O'Connell, who wanted to hang on to Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold, was forced to play J.J. McCarthy, who, if we're going to be fair, he was a big recruit. But if we're going to base high school recruiting rankings on where we choose our franchise quarterbacks, go get Jimmy Clausen out of retirement. Go find your five stars that never lived up to the billing. J.J. McCarthy was in a perfect situation in Michigan with a dominant defense, a great run game, a two-headed attack, a great offensive line, and weapons who could make plays. J.J. McCarthy in college had to make two or three big throws in big games, and that was it. And credit to him, he did that. There is nothing I've seen from his game early on that leads me to believe that he is a potential legitimate starter on a winning team. He might be Zach Wilson. He actually might be worse than Zach Wilson. That's how little I thought of his season this past year. But hey, he could prove me wrong. We will see. The next story in the three-point stance, we have a reunion in San Francisco as the Niners signed linebacker Dre Greenlaw. 1 year, $7.5 million. He was banged up for Denver last season. Quad injury, hamstring injury, had a one-game suspension. Still at 25 tackles, 5 for loss, an interception, 2 quarterback pressures. But you like San Francisco bringing back someone that they're very aware of how he plays, how he fits into their system. And for the Niners, they lacked so much depth on that side of the ball last year, they couldn't withstand any injuries. At a $7.5 million clip, still gives them some flexibility to do stuff in the market. And he should be an impact guy for them, you know, with other guys getting healthy. Bosa should be back. Warner should return. I wonder how their secondary is going to develop throughout the offseason. That's still a weak link to me. But for San Francisco, the key is having depth and guys you trust, and this is a step in the right direction. And then finally, we go to Cincinnati, where they've added Jonathan Allen, formerly of the Vikings, formerly of the Commanders, defensive tackle, 2 years, $26 million. Kind of like that combination they have brewing with B.J. Hill and him in the middle. The problem is for Cincinnati is they still don't have edge rushers. We still need them to get after quarterbacks, and they have no way of replacing Trey Hendrickson. Their win total set at 9.5. I'm going to need to see a lot more. They're suspect in the secondary. They're suspect in all levels of this defense, and I still don't like their offensive line. But I would say that Jonathan Allen is someone who can pressure the quarterback from the middle. B.J. Hill is also someone who can get after quarterbacks from the middle. So maybe their thought is we will use unconventional ways to get after quarterbacks because there isn't an impact edge rusher that we could potentially add right now. They'd be a great fit for Max Crosby if they weren't the cheapest organization in sports. But I'll give them credit. Right now on the win total, though, I wouldn't touch it. I would actually lean under on the Bengals, even though I'm a huge Joe Burrow guy here. So those are the big stories as far as the NFL is concerned. Kyler Murray, though, is the needle mover. It's something that I can't wait to watch because he's never had this type of coaching. He's never had this type of weapons. He's probably never had a defense like this. Minnesota, we're going to know early on if they're good or bad. What's going on with the golf? What should we look at? Who was good? Who was bad? I believe we had a big withdrawal earlier today. Our buddy Eric Cohen from Sportsline will break that down. Plus, preview the card on Friday in college hoops. That's next on Cashing Out.
out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Tim Miles saving his best for last with San Jose State. This is a team that went 9-23 in the regular season, and they upset Boise to open up the Mountain West Conference yesterday. They lead with under 6 minutes to go in the first half on New Mexico, 31-29. So we'll keep you updated on that. Numbers down to 8.5, New Mexico laying it, total 162.5. We are on San Jose State, first half plus 9. I would like that to continue here very much so. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're listening to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we have a developing situation to get into with our next guest concerning the Big 12. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, he is Eric Cohen, Sportsline handicapper at Cohen's Corner AZ on X, and he joins us now on Cashing Out. You passed along this information during the break, and Matt Norlander of CBS had the scoop. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark tells CBS the league is abandoning its LED glass floor and switching to hardwood overnight for the semifinals and title game the next 2 days. The coaches have agreed to switch. His statement is, quote, "After consultation with the coaches of our four semifinal teams, I have decided that in order to provide our student athletes with the greatest level of comfort on a huge stage this weekend, we will transition to a hardwood court for the remainder of the tournament. We look forward to a great semifinals and championship game." We went back and looked during the break. Day one of the Big 12 tournament, we believe 4-0 to the over. The next 2 days, though, overs are unders 6-2 combined. The last 2 days of the Big 12 tournament, every time you look up and watch the game, there's somebody slipping or falling and things don't look right. Now this news comes. It means to me that overs may eventually be back in play with these Big 12 games. I'm going to wait and see on totals. I've been getting killed on totals. What do you see the biggest news coming out of this is, Eric?
Well, I think that's a good point, Dustin. I mean, the totals, and so tomorrow, first of all, Arizona-Iowa State, the total's 143.5. Kansas-Houston, the initial line is 136.5. I mean, that's tough. I mean, you're looking at four really good defensive teams. I'd have to take a look at it, but I would kind of start leaning to the over now. I mean, guys were slipping all over the floor, and I think guys were not willing to take as many chances, especially these four teams, which have, you know, long-term aspirations in the tournament, Final Four or better for all four of these final teams in the Big 12 tournament. And they didn't want guys to get hurt, and that's what we were worried about. I think this is a great decision by the Big 12, though they have egg on their face.
Yeah, it's not a great look. It is not a great look. It looked cool, the floor. Let's be clear about that. But you could tell the guys were not comfortable on it. And there was just a lot of movement, a lot of slipping and sliding along the way. Now, let's talk about the Big 12, because your Arizona Wildcats, they're very much still alive here. And they're a team that, you know, I've told you, I was kind of wishy-washy on them early on. But they look so deep, so efficient scoring, especially from two. On Friday, they're going to face Iowa State. Your boys are laying 4.5. The total's 143.5. I kind of like laying it with the Wildcats, man. Iowa State's playing with their food in the first half. I don't really like their vibes, even though they got another big win. Where do you stand in this matchup?
Dustin, I will never bet against my team, let me say that. Arizona beat Iowa State the other week, 73-57 at home in Tucson. This is a no play for me. I am very scared of this game. It would not shock me in the least if Iowa State, who blew out Arizona State yesterday and crushed Texas Tech today, would not surprise me if they kept this game really, really close. I do not expect a blowout. I think Arizona is the better team, but I could see it would not shock me with these conference tournaments if Iowa State wins the game outright. I will stay away. The more that I look at it, I'm probably leaning to the under. Last time we saw 130 in the game, the total's up to 143.5. It's also a no play for me. I would probably lean like Arizona wins this like 71-69, which would have Iowa State covering the under, but I really, it's a game I'm just not playing.
Yeah, I understand it, but I would tell you should be nervous that I'm so like into your team right now, because I've been against them for a long time, but the last 3 weeks, they've blown me away. Every single time that they've had to step up, they've resoundingly answered the call. What do you make of tomorrow in the Big Ten, staying there with Illinois and Wisconsin? Because these two offenses are really fun to watch. The Illini, though, laying a big number, 8.5. And by the way, I had Wisconsin against Washington. I literally turned the game off because I thought, all right, cool, I'm cashing my bet. Look up. Mm-mm. They didn't cover. Illinois is laying 8.5. Total's 156.5. If I forced you to do something here, what would you look at?
Well, I made a mistake of playing the under in the Wisconsin game today, and that did not go very well. It started out okay in the first 10 minutes. The last 30 did not go so well for me. So my play here is I'm going over. I am not playing under in a Wisconsin game right now. This team shoots a ton of threes. Now, Illinois owes them a little payback. Wisconsin went to Champaign and beat them the other week. I'm going to play Illinois money line and over, probably get that around plus 150, little same game parlay.
Let's go over to the ACC as we're talking college hoops. Eric Cohen, Sportsline Handicapper at Cohen's Corner AZ on X. Miami, who I took at 25-1 to win the ACC tournament, mm-hmm. taking on Virginia. And part of the deal for me was I don't trust Virginia. I don't think they're as good as everyone's making them out to be. They are probably the second best team in this league, but that doesn't mean they can't get got by a really good Miami team with a guy in Jay Lucas, who I don't know if they're going to be able to retain him. I think someone might try and steal Jay Lucas. Right now, UVA is laying 4.5, total 143.5. How would you play this one?
I actually love the total. I love the over in this game, over the 143.5. So these two teams played, I believe in February, it was 86-83 Virginia. Miami's games have gone over this total in 6 of their last 8. Virginia's over this number in 6 of the last 7. And both teams are averaging more than 80 points per game on the year. Is this a trap line or is it just too easy? I always get afraid when I like this one just looks a little fishy to me. I see this as a 77-75 type of game either way. So I am going with the over. I think there's some cushion. I would play it up. Maybe 145.5, 146.5, just in case. But I'm going over in this game. Do I have a pick here? Maybe I lean Miami with the points, but I don't have a strong feeling about it.
How about in the Big Ten, Purdue and Nebraska? Boilermakers doing what they needed to do against Northwestern. They win and cover. The Huskers, though, I mean, this is like the best version of Nebraska we've ever seen. And I didn't realize this. They haven't ever won an NCAA tournament game, I don't believe, is what I read earlier. I could be wrong on that. I'll double check while you answer. Purdue's laying 3.5. Total's 142 and a hook. What do you think of this matchup?
I love to play totals. As you can tell, I'm playing the under in this game. We saw Purdue win this game 80-77 against Nebraska when they last played. The game went to overtime. In regulation, it was 68-68. I think both teams lock up defensively, so I'm going the under there, and I lean Purdue money line. So Illinois and over, Purdue and under. You put those together if you want to have a little Big Ten parlay and get something like, you know, 4-1, 5-1. I'll take that.
Nebraska 0-8 in the NCAA tournament. That is crazy. Oof. All right, let's go to the SEC rivalry game here in the tournament. Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Commodores laying a short number, 1.5, total 147.5, and it's kind of opposite styles of play here. Vanderbilt, more offense. Tennessee and Rick Barnes, they want to slow it down and play defense. I always want to bet unders when it comes to Rick Barnes in tournament play, but I don't know if I'm going to get there here. What do you think of Vandy and Tennessee?
I faded Tennessee today, and that was not a good move. It felt good with Auburn for about 30 minutes. The last 10 minutes, Tennessee went on, what, like a 19-0 run? So Vanderbilt beat Tennessee 86-82 last week. I think Tennessee gets their revenge. I am playing Tennessee with the points tomorrow.
Before we let you go, got to get an update on what's going on in the Players' Championship. Maverick McNeely, Lee Hodges, Sepp Straka, Thigala, and Austin Smotherman, all 5 under. Anything stand out to you and anything you want to do in the tournament going forward?
First of all, Colin Morikawa withdrawing after one hole, stunning. The guy was hammered down with his odds this week. Scotty Scheffler, the irons and driver just don't have it. Rory McIlroy, will his back hold up for the next 54 holes? Here are the 3 guys that I'm playing. Tommy Fleetwood, who was 25-1 before the tournament. He is half that number now. He's an elite ball striker. He is 5th in strokes gained tee to green thus far. A little concerned about the putter, but it might be his time to win a big event in this country. He won the FedEx Cup last year, but he might win the 5th major. I think it's time for him to win a major, or the 5th major, as they call this one. Cam Young, another guy that broke through with his first win last year at the Wyndham Championship. Doesn't have a great history here, but he is 4th in strokes gained approach in round 1. Positive in all statistical categories. A little under 13-1. And another guy that I bet at like 41-1 in the without market, without Scheffler and some other guys, He's now 14-1 outright, and that is Sepp Straka, who's tied for the lead. He gained nearly 4.5 strokes on and around the greens. He is a big game hunter. He is not afraid when the pressure comes down to it. So all three of those guys are who I'm looking at to win this tournament right now.
He is Eric Cohen. Give him a follow on X at Cohen's Corner AZ, Sportsline handicapper, and he joins us every single week at this time. Tremendous work as always, my friend. When we chat next week, it's going to be recapping day one of the NCAA tournament. Eat your Wheaties and rest up.
Best day of betting tomorrow, Dustin. Let's hit it.
And every day is a good day to bet, especially if you're a VSiN pro. Become one right now, VSiN.com/subscribe, offering our best special. You go on the website, we've got horse racing picks, soccer picks, and strategy for betting college basketball, plus the March Mania betting guide dropping very soon. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe.